welcome to the latest episode of The Booming Curmudgeon. Hello and welcome. I'm hoping that the title of today's episode caught your attention and at least was a little bit intriguing. Esse quam videri. What is that? Actually, it is the state motto of the state of North Carolina, my home state. And what it means is this. It means to be rather than to seem. And it really provides the basis for today's episode. We live in a culture where it's most important how you seem or how you appear or what people think. And there's much less attention paid in our society as to what you actually are. So the expression and the motto, esse quam videri, to be rather than to seem, promotes authenticity in the belief that one should display true virtue rather than to appear as though one does. So that's going to be the springboard for today's episode. And what I want to talk about is the fact that our society is moving towards inauthenticity or fakeness or untruthfulness. The notion of what's truth in today's society really takes on a life of its own. So where we have people that say, well, that's your truth or that's their truth. That doesn't meet my lived experience, as if the notion of truth or what's real is up for debate. And I think it plays itself out in just the way that our culture has become very comfortable with this notion of deflection and making things seem one way when they're really another, but doing it purposefully as to mislead or as to be deceptive. So I have some examples that I just want to go on a little bit of a rant about that we see every day. And then I'll try and bring it back at the end to really kind of put social commentary on what these things mean in our society and how we might combat those things. So I hope you stick with me as I go through some of these things. But let's start with yogurt. And I know that seems like a very strange thing, but my first memory of where I saw this and kind of put my radar up for other discourse in my life was a tin of yogurt. I used to buy yogurt at the grocery store when I was younger and I enjoyed my yogurt. So one day, I don't remember when it was, but I was probably in my 20s. I purchased a yogurt. I went to eat my yogurt and it just seemed like there wasn't that much yogurt in there. I didn't pay attention to how many ounces used to be in the yogurt tin, but it'd be a good thing to research. But as I finished my yogurt, I recognized that my spoon wasn't going down to the bottom of what I perceived to be the container of yogurt. And sure enough, I turned the empty yogurt container upside down, and there it was. They had hollowed out probably the last half inch of the cup, the plastic cup of yogurt, and effectively sold me less yogurt, charged me the same amount or more, and I took note of that. Seemed a little sneaky. Seemed a little off, but that's the way it is, right? You buy the yogurt they sell you, and that's what you have it. But, you know, I started to pay attention to this stuff, and I've come to know that there's something called shrinkflation, as a matter of fact, in the food industry, where all of a sudden you're buying less of a product that's packaged as if it's the same amount of the product, and you're paying either the same or slightly more. So a couple of examples of this practice in our society. I went to buy sliced cheese. So I went to get my sliced cheese, which is typically on sale at my grocery store for $2.99 for 8 ounces of cheese. It's got 11 slices or 10 or 11 slices. And that's what I buy. I like Swiss cheese, happens to be my favorite, but we buy cheddar in the house and we buy Colby Jack in the house, you know, just to put on sandwiches or whatever. That's not important. But what is important, I looked next to my generic cheese or my store brand cheese that I get for $2.99. And I recognized that the brand name happened to be Sargento. Brand name cheese is right next to it. And it says it's 2 for $6. So I said, oh, wow, I could get brand name cheese for $3 a package when I'm effectively spending $3 a package for generic. So surely that's a better deal. It's a higher quality cheese. So I grabbed the cheese. I looked at it. And I'm like, wait a second. I looked at the ounces of cheese. And sure enough, it was not 8 ounces of cheese like my generic brand was. It was 6.8 ounces of cheese. It has the same number of slices. They're just slightly thinner. And I get 6.8 ounces of cheese. And I didn't do the math, but I'm going to guess that on 8 ounces, I've lost 1.2 ounces of cheese for the price. So all of a sudden, whatever percentage that ends up to be, I get that much percent less product. So my price per ounce is actually more than the generic, although they lead me to believe that the cheese is the same price. Again, another example. If you look at bacon, used to get a pound of bacon. That's what you got. Now I notice that some packages are a pound of bacon and some packages are 12 ounces of bacon. They basically look the same in the shelves, but you have to pay attention. So the industries that we have, they're in the business to make money. But they're also in the business to market their product, and they market their product in such a way as to make you think it's one thing when it's another. It used to be we could simply sell our products based on the quality of those products alone and let the chips fall where they may. Now we get into the practice of making our consumers think one thing when it's actually another. And sometimes I wonder, this notion of marketing, I think marketing can be broken down into two category. The first being, get the information out about your product to the largest number of people that are likely to buy your product, which seems to be a fair practice. I'm the consumer. They're putting information about the product out in such a way that I can consume that information and be an educated buyer. So that's category one. Category two of marketing, I look at as this area where we play a little fast and loose with the truth. Another food example. Food is just something that's in our daily lives, so it's in our face every day. And I go to this product, back to cheese, as a matter of fact. So if you've ever bought this product called Kraft Singles, right? It's sliced cheese. That's what we knew it as kids. It's individually wrapped plastic around a slice of cheese, or so we thought. If you look at the packaging on Kraft Single, you would recognize that it's got the word cheese on the face of it, but it's not cheese. So what they've cleverly done is they label the product as cheese food. So it's not cheese, it's cheese food. I've seen it in ice cream. You go and get a tub of ice cream. You really have to look carefully, because it may be a frozen dairy dessert. Doesn't qualify as ice cream. I think the qualification for ice cream is it has to have a certain percentage of milk fat. So frozen dairy dessert has some milk in it, but not sufficient to call it ice cream. Again, just another marketing technique to make you believe you're buying one thing when in reality you're buying another. So this is just one area of our society that has this business of what does it seem to be, and trying to make you believe it's one thing, but it's actually something else. It may be like that something, but it's not that. Now let's talk about the public square, about government. This is an area that, as you know, I've been relatively critical about how politicians and leaders communicate, let alone how they govern, how they get things done or don't get things done. But one of the things I've noticed throughout the most recent election cycle is that politicians are almost expert at avoiding direct answers to questions. And why is that? Do they want to lie to us? Do they want to not tell us the truth? I think this practice of talking around things and not addressing questions directly, answering a simple question with a soliloquy about something else, or that deflects and diverts attention, makes you scratch your head at the end and say, I don't think they actually answered the question that was posed to them. A recent example of that would be this guy, John Kirby. He's the spokesperson for the Pentagon. If you remember, we had all these drone sightings in New Jersey, and people were up in arms. So he was making the rounds on the morning shows, and I happened to see him on Fox News one morning. And the question was posed to him, what has the government found out about the drones? And he first started by saying, well, there are thousands of drones in this country, probably 10,000 drones in this country, and their vast majority are commercial and piloted aircraft and other wings. So we've assessed that there is no foreign actors involved. There's nothing to suggest that there are foreign actors involved, and there's nothing to suggest that there's any issues with these drones. The thing that jumped off the screen to me is that he never actually answered the question. So, for example, if I were the interviewer, I would say, have you determined with any of the sighting what those drones were, and if so, who were they operated by, and what was the commercial purpose of them? And are there any drones which you've not been able to identify the owners and the reason that there were that many flying over New Jersey? As I thought about my fantasy interview, I realized that he was never going to answer the question about the drones. You got everybody in New Jersey highly concerned. You have hundreds of drones flying over these various communities. You have pictures of the drones. And here was a guy saying, don't believe what you see. Nothing to see here, move along. Effectively lying by omission to the country, not being truthful, not being honest about the nature of their assessments, not being honest about what they know and don't know. And proof of that would be the fact that they actually had a classified briefing with Congress. And I think to myself, if there's nothing to worry about, and there's no foreign actors, and it's not government drones, why would you need a classified briefing with Congress to discuss these things? Why not an open forum? Have the public listen in. So the government's not truthful. They're right in your face with it, unapologetically. Another example of mistruth and misleading is this whole notion of Biden being fully fit, running circles around his staff, despite the fact that he had many times where he appeared incoherent, unable to get his words out, slow to the uptake, never appearing before the public, and effectively governing from his basement. All of the minions around him would tell you how sharp he was, how he was in these cabinet meetings doing all these great things and whatnot. Yet we saw a completely different person paraded out in public in front of us. And we come to find out, in fact, that he had gone, I think it was 12 months, without even having a cabinet meeting. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the leader of the free world. This is our president. Can't even believe that they would do that. Yet here we are. And I think to myself, I'm a citizen of this country. Our government is speaking to me as if I'm an idiot. And I'm not an idiot. I see what's going on. I see that you're lying to me right now. I see that you're misleading me right now. I see that you're omitting information purposefully from me right now, and have no problem in doing that. So the skill that these people have in evading questions, deflecting, and being deceptive as they go about their daily business has become commonplace, and I hate it. Another area that I've ranted on in some of my earlier episodes is the pharmaceutical industry. If you look at a pharmacy ad for medication, and you see then the disclaimer at the bottom in small print, where they actually speak in hushed tones and very rapidly about these potential side effects and things that you can get up to, including death, right? Does anyone believe that if it was not a regulated industry, would those pharmaceutical companies actually disclose the risks? Does anyone believe that the cigarette industry would have disclosed the risks of cigarettes? We as a society have come to a point where the truth is only shared when it's convenient. The notion of honor and truthfulness and full disclosure are not part of our national discourse. It's unfortunate, but that's where we've come. The notion that Biden was going to be the most transparent administration in history, it was not true when they said it, and then they go about in conducting themselves in such a way that they have no intention of being transparent. There's no intention of telling us what they're really doing. There's no intention of coming clean with the American people and letting us know what's going on. Back to what happened in the recent election, I believe that what's going on now in terms of Trump getting elected, in terms of the wholesale change, I think the American public sees Trump as a change agent, one that will come and simply get the people's business done, stop talking out of one side of your mouth and doing out of the other side of your mouth. You got to give Trump credit for one thing. He basically tells you what he's going to do, and then he goes and does it. It may not be popular. It may not be something that fits with one's individual political ideology. But you do know this. If he says he's going to go build a wall, if he says he's going to deport criminals, he's going to go and do it, at least attempt to do it, if he's not blocked by sanctuary cities and others that lean on their own ideology to obstruct what effectively the American people have said they want to happen. I admire that level of directness, truthfulness. It sounds more righteous to say truthfulness, but he's direct. At least he says what he's going to do. Agree or disagree. And I think the American people want that. And it goes back to my original topic. Esse quam videre. People want to have the way it is, not the way it seems. If they want to buy 8 ounces of cheese, they want to buy 8 ounces of cheese, not 6.8 ounces of cheese that are sold to me as if they're 8 ounces of cheese, because I don't want to be suspicious. I don't want to have to read every label. I want it to be plainly clear. This is what you're selling me. And if they say, look, I'm not going to charge you $2.99 for your container of cheese because I have better cheese, my ingredients cost more, it's a higher grade quality, and I'm going to charge you $3.50, and I know you can buy generic for $2.99, but I think our cheese is worth it, and simply sell me on the merits of the darn cheese. I want that applied to everything. I want it to government. I want it to individual relationships among people. I want people to be honest with their partners that they're in relationship with, their friends. I want a level of civility that we have that allows us to be truthful with one another and not simply say, well, I'm going to tell you one thing because I think that you can't handle the truth. But I think we need to demand from industry and from our leaders honesty, truthfulness, and not perception and propaganda. And I think if we can get to the point where our institutions, and I'm really talking about our corporate institutions and our governmental institutions, where we can simply tell people the way it really is and do it unapologetically, you're going to find that we're mostly doing the right thing. And the people will redirect these groups either by their pocketbook for industry or by their votes for politics. We'll redirect those institutions based on their success at being truthful, honest, forthright. And I think if we can do that in those major institutions, I think it can filter down into the way individuals relate with one another, the way that we are in relationships with each other. It's not going to be commonplace to simply lie or to simply mislead or to simply omit something for convenience to get us what we want. We need to do the right thing because it's the right thing. And I know that's difficult because many times doing the right thing is doing the hard thing. Doing the right thing may actually come at a cost. I even think of our corporate interests. If they tell us the truth and say, I'm going to sell you your cheese. It's going to cost you $3.50, but it's better cheese. That may come at a cost to them in that they may not sell as much cheese. I get it. But we need to come to the point where my desire not to be misled trumps their desire to sell. And I say that metaphorically because it's the same way when John Kirby comes up and gives us a load of BS about drones. No problem, nothing to see here, move along. Don't believe your lying eyes. And our citizens need to know truth trumps his view that they can't handle the truth. I think if we can get that way as a society, we'll be in a much better place. We'll start to live up to what we like to parade out there is our moral high ground as a nation. And I think that'll be a good thing. But the fish rots from the head. So our government, our industry, we need to start doing things because it's the right thing to do. We need to be truthful with our consumers and with our citizens. And if we can do that, our citizens can take that lead because we do take the lead. If our leaders are lying to us and misleading us, you're going to see that that just becomes the way we relate to each other. And that can never be a good thing. So I'm very hopeful that we can start to trust one another and trust our industries, but it's going to require change. I don't think it's going to come natively. There's too much self-interest involved in these things, both politics and industry. But I think we as the consumers and those of us who value truth can hopefully influence in some way the larger picture, which is how do we apply this to a society? How do you move a society from heading down the slippery slope of deception and untruthfulness and misleading and self-serving and using those things in a self-serving way? How do we get out of the practice of that and start to move us in a direction of being honorable and truthful and morally true to ourselves and morally true to the people we engage with? How do we move that mountain? I wish I knew. I'm hopeful that if we can talk about these things and just think of them and try to apply them and do some risk-taking and have our children witness what living in truth means and what it looks like, we're going to have to lead by example. So in my small world, I'm going to take note of this topic because it's troubling to me that it's just become really easy to just, you know, mislead. No, that's not true. Just bold-faced lie. If you say it loud and proud enough, then it somehow becomes the new truth. And I just think that's wrong. So hopefully we can make strides in that area. I'm the eternal optimist, but I recognize how big of a thing this is to move the moral execution of relational, transactional things in our country, and certainly dialogue. It starts by telling the truth. It starts by being honest with people. It starts by being honest with the people that we engage with every day. And if we can do that in our own individual sphere of influence, maybe that'll have an impact if enough of us do it, if enough of us realize that that's what's happening, if corporate executives look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know, I wouldn't pretend as if I'm selling 8 ounces of cheese to my kid if I'm only selling them 6.8 ounces. I would hopefully tell my spouse the truth in that. Why can't I tell our consumers that as well? and trust that the quality of my product will sell. I know it's a simplified example, but it's my cheese example and that's what I got. So I hope you get the point I'm trying to make, which is dishonesty and deception have become a little too commonplace in our society. Keep on the lookout for them, because the last thing you want to do is be deceived and not know it. I think a natural skepticism to anything is important. So back to my cheese example, if I go into the grocery store and I look and I see, wow, Sargento is the same price as my generic, my reaction at the booming curmudgeon level shouldn't be, oh, that's great, and just grab the Sargento and walk off. I've got to figure out, why would that be the same price? I understand the economics of branding and advertising and the cost basis for a brand name product like that. They generally are more expensive because they have higher quality ingredients, they advertise more, et cetera, et cetera. They have a bigger cost than generics do. And that's why they're more expensive. So how can they offer that at the same price without taking a bath? I've got to apply a level of skepticism. I've got to look a little deeper. I've got to read the label. I've got to do those things. And if that means that everyone else who walks into that same grocery store does the same thing and they don't buy Sargento because they realize that it's more expensive than the generic, then maybe Sargento stops trying to pretend as if they're selling me 8 ounces of cheese. And maybe that makes them more honest simply because it's not working. For government, it's always good to be a skeptic and to, I'm not saying not trust government, but trust but verify. Trust your instincts. If you think you're being lied to, you probably are. If you're concerned that you're being lied to, dig for the truth. And I think that in relationships, become a good student of what truth looks like, what it sounds like, and hold those that are close to you accountable in that. There's nothing better than a relationship that's founded in trust, honesty, openness, and it can only promote a healthy relationship, even if there are problems. You can't address the problems if you don't know about them. And if you're lying about them, they will bubble up to the surface eventually. People will recognize that they've been lied to. They will lose trust. So stop it. Speak truth. Not your truth. Truth. There is absolute truth. You can't pretend that something is true when it's not. And I'm hoping that our industries and our governments take that on and start to behave in a way that's different than the current paradigm, which is truth isn't important. I think truth is important. I think honesty is important. Government, industry, individual. And it starts with us. Be honest. Be truthful. Enjoy life. Enjoy 2025. But tell the truth. Don't deceive. Be honest and upfront. Esse quam videre. To be rather than to seem. It's something to aspire to. And I'm going to take that on myself. And I would encourage each of you to do the same. Have a wonderful week. And thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.